Welcome to the 102nd episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. Welcome. Happy holidays. Christmas is over. New Year's is just around the corner. Hope you enjoyed your holidays, maybe a few days off. I hope you're not too far off of the plant-based wagon, as many of my patients are. So we'll talk about that a little bit. For those of you that are new, I'm a plant-based cardiologist in Southwest Florida. I'm also an endurance athlete. I do Ironmans, triathlons, and marathons. I have a marathon in Miami coming up at the end of the month. So my training is going pretty well. All my little niggles seem to be just about gone. I've kind of changed shoes, a little bit more shoe support for the miles that I've been running, so I think that's been helping. My latest training change is I'm trying to run by cadence, so I'm trying to get my cadence up from the old lady cadence in the 160s to a maybe not so much of an old lady cadence into the mid 170s. So I have a cadence app on my iPhone that I put down low, and I hear it click, click, click as I'm running. And so I've been hanging at about a cadence of 172 to 174. Every once in a while, if I have a, you know, an easy day, I try to do every other day kind of easy. So I may turn the cadence off and just see what I have. The idea is to be able to get my body and used to running that cadence, whether I'm running at a slow pace or a fast pace. And what I'm gradually noticing is if I don't have the metronome on, my cadence is starting to increase. So it is working, but it's going to take some time to get me where I want to be. The other thing that I've noticed is that my stride length is lengthening just a little bit, and I'm striking the ground in a little bit better position. So I think that's all good. I had an injury in my left ankle, so the Garmin watch will actually tell you how much time you spend on each foot. And I was actually 45 to, you know, 54, 56 left to right, and that's actually getting a little bit better. So it kind of corresponds to you know, me being able to put a little bit more weight on my left ankle. So what's causing all these problems? You know, I think I have a little Achilles tendinosis. I think I have some tight calves. I may have some tight hip flexors. You know, probably some tight plantar fascias. So I'm working all this with strength and training and mobility and stretching, and it's gradually getting better. I have found for myself, you know, that I'm, you know, seeing that I'm not really injured, but just kind of tight, and, you know, I call these things niggles. There's nothing really torn. It's just aggravated and inflamed, that I do better working through it and stretching and rehabbing by moving as opposed to taking time off. I've never found that complete absence of movement really does me any good. So I'm better to work through it, stretch and train and go on about my business. So that seems to be working. I'm starting to add some treadmill hills and some walking up hills gradually to my training. The next event that we have is an ultra in Mendocino, California, that's going to be with elevation. And here in flat Port Charlotte, Florida, that's a big problem. So the first thing I'm going to do is some treadmill work. I'll have to throw in some bridge work. But I'm, again, with this Achilles and stretching everything out, I'm gradually starting to throw things in. I don't want to go backwards. But so far, so good with the, you know, shoe with a little bit of a more of a heel raise than I was using. So it seems to be on the right track. So that's good. So today, I mainly want to focus on being on or off the plant-based wagon and what has sabotaged the people that I have come in contact with over the last week or so, and just what kind of problems it can cause. It seems that the biggest cause or the biggest sabotage to people so far that I have met is actually their children. And it's not little children, it's adult children, which it drives me insane that adult children can't help their parents if they're trying to get on track and trying to be healthy, why they have to sabotage them. Maybe they don't realize they're sabotaging them, maybe, and probably most likely, they don't want to have to admit that they have a similar problem. You know, I guess if I were to walk into those houses, I would find people that looked alike and had similar cholesterols if they're eating the same thing. But, you know, that seems to be a problem. Even, you know, one patient said that they brought something to their children's house when they went over for the holidays, but, you know, they were still tempted by the things that were there and end up getting into, you know, some of the meat dishes and the cheese dishes and what have you. It's not an excuse, but, you know, I can see how people are tempted. You know, I had one patient that, you know, he tried to correct things by fasting, you know, after he had been off the wagon. But then he got hungry, and I asked him what he had to eat, and he said he had a bite of his wife's hamburger. Well, you know, she was supposedly trying to stay plant-based as well. So, you know, it just one thing leads to another. But again, you can't really punish yourself for being off the wagon by a fast, you know, for, you know, so many hours and then eating the first thing you see, which is, again, back off the wagon. So that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So, you know, my suggestion would be to gather yourself and to get a plan. And when you're trying to become plant-based, the main thing about getting that plan is being prepared. Just like with anything in life, you need to be aware of your surroundings and be prepared for what you're about to do. Every little thing matters when you're trying to heal yourself and you're trying to get back in line. So skipping steps or trying to fast doesn't make it better. It doesn't make up for what's done. What's done is done. You need to go on. I enjoy all kinds of sports, and I particularly enjoy sports psychology. I can't say that I'm the best at it in the world, and probably in my former life when I was a golfer, I wasn't very good at it at all. I would hold on to something when it went wrong way too long. You know, sports psychologists, I heard an interview about Pete Carroll, and, you know, talked about and how he's able to, or how he works to, if something bad goes wrong, he lets it go and goes on. And I think if you compare him to, say, another coach who, you know, just what I call stews or goes up and down the sideline and can't get over it and plays go by and things happen, he just digs himself a hole and the next thing you know, the team has lost. And I think that can be translated into nutrition and trying to get, you know, back on the plant-based wagon. You have to just let it go. Bad things happened, and now you're going to get a plan to get back on. And the first thing that I would suggest is be prepared and have food available. So if the only thing you have available is something you shouldn't eat, you're going to grab it. So one, clean out the bad things. So if you were off the wagon and you had Christmas cookies or somebody brought those things around that aren't plant-based and you know what they are, or they have a lot of sugar and oil, then get rid of them. It's easy to ignore pastries and cookies as being maybe vegan. And you can talk yourself into saying, well, they're okay because they're vegan. You know, but the reality of it is you just can't see the dairy. So there's probably butter, there's probably milk, there's probably eggs. There's certainly shortening. So even if it's vegetable shortening, it's really, really bad. So if you've ever made cookies, for the most part, most of them, you know, 80% are bad. So get rid of them. Give them to somebody else. Get them out of your house and go on. The next thing to do is to restock your pantry and have good things on hand. Just about every week when I go to the grocery store, there's a few things that I buy. And it usually involves green peppers, cucumbers, tomatoes, mushrooms, potatoes. I always have beans in my pantry, a variety, both some canned, but some mainly dry. And so there's black beans, there's pinto beans, there's white beans, there's garbanzo beans. And I also always have a couple kinds of rice in large quantities in jars in my pantry. That way, I'm never without those staples that I can always make, you know, what we call something out of nothing. So you can always grab rice and beans. You have vegetables. The other thing that I always get every week is greens. So I always have some sort of kale, cabbage available, and I always have some sort of lettuce, spinach available. So I'm ready in that regard. luckily for me right now in my garden, I have Swiss chard continuously available, so I can just go down three steps and pick a head of or pick a big bowl of Swiss chard. So that makes it easy. Know what quick lunches are for you. You know, my go-to lunch if I don't have leftovers is, you know, I've said a million times before, a bed of greens with beans, tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers. And, you know, put the whole thing on. Put the whole pepper, put the whole cucumber. You know, make it a giant salad so you're not going to get hungry. And then always have fruit around. So you can't eat too much fruit, whole fruit. Don't, you know, not fruit juice, but the whole fruits. So always have that around for after your lunch for your dessert and after your dinner for your dessert. Today is a short day for me. I just rounded in the hospital and I was home for lunch. And because of our holidays, I had a lot of leftover homemade hummus. And my hummus turned out really good this year, mainly because I had fresh garbanzo beans. And if you haven't been to the site, I'm not sponsored by them, but Rancho Gordo Beans in California, I ordered my garbanzo beans from them. Soaked them, actually almost sprouted them. I had little tails on them. Then I actually cooked them and made my garbanzo or made my hummus with the beans, some sesame seeds, lemon juice, parsley, and it was really, really creamy. And I think it's mainly because of the sprouted garbanzo beans and how fresh they were. But anyway, I have a lot left over, so I decided to make falafel for lunch. And it's not the ideal way to make falafel because typically you would just like the mashed up whole beans to give you a little bit more texture. But nevertheless, I used the same ingredients. So some cumin, a little turmeric, parsley, lemon juice, and made a cake and just a little bit of panko on the outside and the panko breadcrumbs on the outside just to give it enough to a little bit of a firmness, and put that in the skillet and heated that up both sides. And then I made a tahini lemon juice, water, dill, cilantro white sauce to mix with cucumbers and tomatoes. Put all that over a bed of lettuce, and voila, it was a great lunch. Didn't take me any time at all. So, you know, that can be a very quick lunch, less than 30 minutes. Certainly, you know, you can prepare it the night before and just have everything to put together. But the bottom line is to always have that stuff available so then you don't have to wonder what are you going to eat next or what are you going to prepare. There's so many people come into my office and I'll have an afternoon appointment and they have no idea what they're going to prepare for dinner. And that always leads to something bad usually. You know, my mother's a really good cook. My grandmother was a really good cook. I had a babysitter for my daughter once that was a really good cook. And we could always say they could make something out of nothing. Meaning that, you know, they can just kind of look in the refrigerator or think what they have and mix up a bunch of things and come up with a great meal. Last night, my mother took zucchini, red peppers, tomatoes, leeks, celery, a hot sauce there's a Wickles, but you can do any kind of hot pepper sauce and sauteed all those things together and served them with rice. And it was a really good dish. And we had wax beans and a salad with, so that was a really quick, and meal that she didn't have to go out and get any of the ingredients for. So if you're not good at, you know, coming and making something out of nothing, then you need to think about it and be a little bit more prepared and know what you're going to do. So, you know, at the beginning of the week, write down five things that you're going to make for the week, or write down five dishes and make sure you have those things on hand. If you're not used to cooking plant-based, you just don't have those menus readily in your head sometimes. So it really helps to have a plan. So being the last couple days of the year, I had to go out and get a new planner to log my workouts in today. And even though I have a Garmin device and it uploads to Garmin Connect and that uploads to Strava, which I really don't follow much, every day I write down what I do. And I write down, it could be as simple as I ran 5 miles or I swam so many yards, or I just lifted weights, and it might just be an entry like that. Sometimes it's more detailed when I'm trying to focus in on an injury. I might write down, you know, how bad things bothered me when I was running. With this cadence thing, I'm trying to keep track of the cadence a little bit. I'm doing the push-up challenge, so I'll keep track of the push-ups. Mainly that's been on Facebook, but I'll try to add that in just so I know what I've done on the side. That way I can look back at the end of the year and see how I've done. And there aren't very many days that don't have an entry. And it's right there. It's right when I come up to change my clothes after a workout. So it's part of my routine to log it. And I would encourage you to do that if you're not in an exercise program and you're going to start. Get the book. And even if it's just a calendar, jot it down and jot it down every day so that you can look at it. If you're new to being plant-based, I suggest you do that with your meals. So put that planner in the kitchen. You can have a side entry where you're going to have you're going to plan your meals and the menus that you're going to have, and then you can have another column writing down what you actually had. You can also have another column writing down what problems that you had, what you ran into, what roadblocks that you ran into, and so that you can track over time how you've progressed. I see people in the office all the time that aren't achieving their goals, and the majority of the time, there's something that they're getting into that causes a problem. And sometimes it's very difficult to figure out what it was. And you know, we spend a lot of time hashing over what it possibly could be. And you know, they think they're completely, you know, they're just eating perfectly, when in reality, they probably aren't. For instance, I only eat sweets when I go out is something I'll hear. But if you only eat when you go out, or you're only having a bite, you're sharing that plate with somebody else, it can add up tremendously. And remember, if you're getting sweets when you're eating out, they're going to have butter, they're going to have the eggs, and they're going to be really high in sugar, because those desserts are meant to wow you and to really hit your sweet tooth bad. They're not trying to hold back and make something healthy in the least amount. The more butter, the more sugar, the more people are going to desire those desserts when they go out. So they're going to be some of the worst desserts you can ever get a hold of, even if you're taking a little bite. One time, many years ago, a drug rep brought a cheesecake to my office, and it was from I believe it was the Olive Garden, and it was, you know, one of these Oreo or double chocolate cheesecake type of things. And just a little sliver had over 800 calories in it with 54 grams of fat, just a sliver. So there must have been, you know, 24, 32 pieces in that. And it, you know, unfortunately for the people that made it, they had those caloric information on the side of it. So, you know, I looked at that, and even back before I was plant-based, I couldn't eat it based sheerly on the terrible amount of calories and fat that it had. But you can see just how dense those things can actually be, and there's just no making up for that. You can't outwalk, outjog, out Zumba, outswim those high saturated fat, high calorie type foods. Remember that saturated fat's causing blood vessel constriction for hours on end. I had a great aunt that used to come over to my grandmother's house at dinner time, and my grandmother would say, "Why don't you sit down and have dinner with us?" She says, no, I'm not hungry. But she would grab a toothpick and kind of lean over the kids and, you know, pick at this, pick at that with her toothpick. And my grandmother always used to say that she could eat more with a toothpick than most people could eat with a fork. And that's not that far off the mark. If you think about it, you can snack and pick with a toothpick and a little bit here and a little bit there, especially around the holidays when you go to people's house and there are plates of food in every location. How many calories you can actually consume in a short period of time. If you're trying to save money in the new year, plant-based is the way to go as well. So I was at our local Walmart. I got 8 pounds of frozen blueberries. They're $4 a pound. They had 5 pounds of rice for $2.80. At Sam's the other day, again, 10 pounds of potatoes, $5.87. A big bag of beans at Sam's, you know, lasts a long time, very, very cheap. So this is a very, very affordable way to eat. It's just a matter of learning a few tricks of the trade, so to speak. And the main tricks of the trade are, again, to have the stuff available. You don't have to make something fancy. It can be very, very simple. I had a patient of Cuban heritage, in the office the other day. He was tremendously overweight. It's like, what did you eat? You know, what did your parents eat when they were in Cuba? Did he like rice and beans? He loved rice and beans. Yeah, but I said, but he's like, oh, we had pork. And it's like, yeah, but you didn't have that much pork back then. It was small portions. But now American-sized portions of this meat and high-fat stuff is so much. So go back to the rice and beans. Forget about the pork part. Forget about the cheese part. Add a bunch of fresh vegetables, and you've got it. So if you have an ethnic background, think about what your grandparents ate. Go back to what they ate. You know, you'll be learning about your heritage. You'll also be making yourself healthy, because if we look at the Blue Zones, which is a great read for this, again, for the new year, if you haven't, places in the world where people live to be 100 and do well, those people ate simply. They ate vegetables, whole grains, fruits, and rarely, rarely a little bit of meat. And it was a special occasion. It was more of a condiment. It was never a third to half of the plate. There have been several movie stars die recently. Alan Thicke, Carrie Fisher, and then Debbie Reynolds was older, but she had a stroke lately. And, you know, there are all these posts on Facebook and all over social media, you know, of how terrible it was, what is terrible, and how unexpected it was. And it somewhat is unexpected, because you think these people had a lot of money, so why should they die young? The reality of it is you can't buy health. And we go back to the rice and beans. The cheaper food is the healthier food, not the cheaper drive-through food, but the cheaper real food, real fruits and vegetables. And those deaths were entirely preventable. They may have had symptoms before, but, you know, they were eating rich food of kings and queens, you know, lots of butter, lots of sugar. Even though, you know, movie stars are great about dieting and cutting weight and starving themselves when they need to keep their weight down. But again, it doesn't fix what's inside them. And if you don't nourish your body with healthy foods, antioxidants, phytochemicals, phytonutrients, all that are in plants and vegetables, you're going to eventually get sick. And some people quicker than others, especially if you add other stressful situations onto it. I think we have to re-examine what the perception of health is. What is disabled? You know, there's a guy named Matty Long, and maybe I'll have him on the podcast someday, but there's a book called The Long Run. And he was terribly injured in an accident where he was run over by a bus, by a bicycle, and had, you know, many, many, many surgeries, and just was... multiple broken bones and just terrible, terrible injuries requiring almost a year of hospitalization. And he brought himself all the way back to do an Ironman. And now he does a lot of CrossFit, gymnastics work. He obviously does public speaking, motivational speaking. And he's learned how to deal with his chronic pain, but he's also come back and worked hard and rehabbed his body. And I think just about anybody can do that. It's a matter of perception and learning how to focus on things other than the pain, strengthening parts that don't work right, and again, focusing on nutrition. The better you eat, the more your brain can handle stress, the more positive your outlook is as well. I don't know how many people plan New Year's resolutions. I've never been one to really make a list of things that I want to accomplish. I, you know, always hope to do better in the next year in general, to be a better person, to learn, to grow, to read, but I never really have much in the way of specific goals. And I think sometimes with nutrition, maybe we set goals that are the wrong goals. So if you are faced with a big, giant challenge of losing 70, 100 pounds, and that's your main goal, then it's easy to get off track with that goal because it's such a huge mountain that you have to climb. So maybe it's better to have a list of things, but that not be your top list. Because one thing with plant-based nutrition, the side effect is often weight loss if you're eating right. So maybe that goal shouldn't be the 70-pound weight loss, but to break it down more into I'm going to do a day, I'm going to do 20 days, I'm going to do 6 months. I'm going to log the days on how good I can eat, how many servings of greens I get in, how many servings of fruit I got in, how many, you know, servings of beans I got in daily, and log if there have been problems along the way so that you can actually have that side effect of weight loss and you start making progress. And then that'll motivate you to keep going, as opposed to set that goal of, you know, I have to lose 100 pounds. And the first week, the second week, if the weight didn't fall off, then you're really disappointed. And the next thing you know, you're not following the goal. I had a healthcare worker tell me today that she wanted to take my class, but she didn't have time because she had all these other problems and all these other things that she had to do. But the reality of it is all these other problems centered around her being very overweight and becoming sick because of it. So the first thing that she really needed to do, or the first goal that she really needs to do, is to change her nutrition, and the rest of these other things will fall into place and she will have time to do all these other things. But the only thing she could focus on was the weight loss. And, you know, another doctor had suggested gastric bypass to her as a, you know, a quick fix, again, to knock that goal off. That's not the idea. The idea is to become healthy, both mind and body. And I don't think that rerouting your stomach is the way to achieve that. I also think it involves the perception of, am I healthy? It could be that my weight is perfectly fine, but my cholesterol is high, or I'm not mobile, or my joints ache, or I've got chronic headaches or something else, that maybe I'm not as healthy as I could be. So I think you have to have that perception that, you know, if you're overweight, that fat increases your risk for cancer. That fat increases your risk for joint problems. So just because there's not a blood pressure medication or a cholesterol medication or a diabetic medication on your shelf now doesn't mean that you're healthy. And that often happens with the spouse of patients that come into the office, because the spouse don't want to get on board because they perceive that they're still healthy because they've not been diagnosed with a problem yet. But, you know, people are only one colonoscopy away from a polyp that's cancer. They're only one blood test away from diabetes. They're only one, perhaps, mammogram away from breast cancer. So you can't, you know, waiting till the shoe falls off before you achieve optimum health through nutrition is, you know, obviously not the way to go. And it just becomes a roadblock for you, and it also becomes a roadblock for you helping someone else. The other thing that I think stands in the way is fear. And it's either fear of failing and not achieving your goals and people telling you, see, it doesn't work, or fear that it did work, but you want to go back to the other way, or even fear that it may hurt you in your business life. So I have a cousin that has a pizza shop. She and her husband are sick. They live in a little town. He's had stents. She's pre-diabetic. And they make pizza. And their latest invention was a white pizza, which they assume is much healthier. But it has extra cheese. So it's three kinds of cheese on top. And I just, you know, again, it could be changed into being made a white pizza with artichokes, or just a veggie pizza with different kinds of veggies. Or, you know, if you look on Instagram, there are pizzas now with, you know, new crust that people make out of quinoa, or people make, I saw a butternut squash crust, and then have a little avocado and tomatoes and raw vegetables. So a raw pizza. Those are all really cool, new, beautiful alternatives. But they live in a place where they're afraid that that wouldn't be marketable or be able to be sold. But the reality of it is, from my perception on things, they live in a little town where everybody looks the same. They're all overweight. They're not healthy. The children are overweight. So what happens if just one of those pizzas were made and people came in and somebody was starting a New Year's resolution that they wanted to lose weight, and this pizza with fresh tomatoes and fresh cucumbers and, you know, a crust made out of butternut squash, or even a crust made out of just bread, but it had, you know, artichokes instead of cheese. Wonder if they had that and they felt good and they lost weight and they realized that they could have something that tasted really good and looked really good and lose weight. Wouldn't that catch on? I think that it would. But it just takes somebody to try to do something like that a little different. And, you know, I doubt that she's listening to this podcast, but it would be really cool to see. The other thing interesting about New Year's resolutions or goals is that do they need to be achievable or not? Because sometimes if you put a goal that's too easy and you can achieve it, was it really worthwhile? And if you're not really sticking your neck out a little bit, maybe it wasn't that good a goal to start with. I don't know. Most likely you should have, I guess, a few for your head that you can achieve and a few that you're striving for. You know, one thing that I'm always striving for is a sub-4-hour marathon. I haven't hit it yet. I keep trying. The clock is ticking. You know, maybe I'll get it, but I never start training for a marathon that I don't try to have that as a somewhat of a goal. The other thing that I want to get that I'll put out there is that I'm writing a book, and I'm writing a handbook on you know how to pull this plant-based thing off. And so I hope to get that book out there this year. And we've been working on it. I have a co-author, and you know we're kind of getting into the. You know, the words are almost all down on the paper. It's just a matter of editing and getting things through. But I hope to get that out this year. And that's somewhat of a lofty goal because it's something I've not done before. I want to complete that ultra marathon. I think I can do that. I'm not sure how I'll do it as far as, you know, how good I'll do it. But I think I can complete it. You know, I have an Ironman. Those are out there. But I guess it's, you know, the goals that are sub underneath that is to be able to train healthy and to keep my health, but to push myself a little bit more. I think that's, you know, that's something that I'm always striving for. We're having our second annual plant-based nutrition conference, January the 21st. Dr. Clapper will be in to speak. Tim Marie Hagenberger will be in to speak. She's a registered dietitian from the Sacramento area. She'll be speaking, giving a cooking demonstration. I'll be speaking. We'll have a roundtable question and answer and a panel discussion. At the end of the day, there'll be a plant-based breakfast and lunch. I'm really looking forward to that. Last year's event was fabulous. It went off without a hitch. You know, I'm hoping that this year's does. We're at Twin Owls Country Club, which is a new location. I've met with the chef. We've talked about oil-free, sugar-free, salt-free, and we've done the menu planning. I think it's going to be fabulous. I hope that you can join us. There's lots of local hotels. It's a great time of year to visit Florida. It's on a Saturday. You can find the tickets on eventbrite.com. It's called the Second Annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Nutrition Conference. The title got a little bit long, but it tells you what it's all about. So I hope you'll consider coming down to visit us for that. It's, you know, another goal that I have is to have some retreats down here in Port Charlotte, to have some three-day weekends. So if you have some interest in coming down and joining me to learn about, you know, an immersion for 3 days of plant-based nutrition education, give me an email because, you know, we have to start someplace. So if I have 4 or 5 people that want to come down and do a immersion type situation with me, I'd be glad to get you started. Again, you know, Port Charlotte's a nice place to visit in the winter for a long weekend. And, you know, there's lots of things to do around here outside. So I'd love to have you. I also do phone consultations and telemedicine consults with people. So if you're living someplace far away and you want to discuss your nutritional goals, your cholesterol goals, give us a call at the office. Go to drdelaney.com and you can find information on that. And I'd be happy to speak with you in private and help you plan out your 2017 and get you going on the right path. It's really possible to get off blood pressure medicine, diabetes medicine, and cholesterol medicine really pretty quickly. in a lot of instances. Depends on how bad you're eating and how good you become. But, you know, it's certainly very, very doable. The most exciting thing that I see is, you know, the reversal of diabetes and the reversal of diabetic neuropathy. It goes away so quick when you become plant-based. And, you know, just getting off these terrible, terrible medications, it would be such a great thing. Newly released monoclonal antibody therapy for high cholesterol, which is an injection. So you can even give yourself shots, or there's this device that you kind of strap on to yourself that gives you the shot. Very expensive. It's for people that can't get their cholesterol under control with statin therapy. That's how it's marketed, or a type of familial hyperlipidemia, which very few people have. But, you know, I just roll my eyes when I see this being released, that people are subjecting themselves to monoclonal antibodies for something that they can eat fruits and vegetables and whole grains and fix. And the doctors aren't taking the time just to talk with people and say, this is so easily reversible. Because, you know, these people that have that bad of cholesterol always also have diabetes. They also have hypertension, most likely. They almost all have vascular disease. So, you know, there's so many things more important than the shot as far as achieving overall health with them. It's just not right to throw another medication at people, especially this injectable, immune-altering, enzyme-altering medication. I'd like to wish all of you a happy, healthy, plant-strong new year. If I can be of assistance, please email me at jamiedulaney@gmail.com. It's jamiedulaney@gmail.com. Again, visit my website, drdulaney.com, for information about the upcoming nutrition conference, my classes that I hold here in town. Those are, 6 weeks straight for an hour and a half long. I cook. I do cooking demonstrations. We menu plan. We go shopping. We talk about the science of nutrition. We talk about how to deal with your family and those pesky kids that are trying to derail you from your whole food plant-based diet. So everybody enjoys it. It's a nice laid-back setting. So if you're any place close by and you want to come and join me for those, I'd love to have you. Again, call the office. It's 941-235-9231. I really appreciate you listening to the podcast. Tell your friends. If you're so inclined and can go on iTunes and give me a 5-star review, that would be great. That gets the word out there a little bit more. We're going to keep these podcasts coming out on a weekly basis in 2017 and beyond. I'm going to continue to do my push-ups. I'm going to continue to run and stretch and be mobile, and I hope you do too. So happy New Year.